Well, welcome to everyone here tonight. Let's just bow before the Lord Jesus Christ tonight and pray. Jesus, we just want to thank you for the opportunity that we have to come here in a free country, God, and lift up your name and celebrate the true meaning of Christmas. Lord, we thank you that so long ago you came and you made yourself known to us. You lived among us, Lord, and you came specifically to offer yourself for us. So we thank you this evening, Lord, as we honor Christmas, God, we remember you. The rest of the world out there is celebrating in different ways, God, but this is all about you, Jesus, and I thank you for each person that's taken time out of their evening to come and pay honor to you, Lord, and to be together as families and with friends, Lord, and we just pray the rest of this evening would be honoring to you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. It's hard to believe it's Christmas 2025. Can you believe it? Wow, the time just keeps going so fast. Well, this evening I've asked Tim James to come forward and read the Christmas story from the book of Matthew. Tim, would you come at this time?
Merry Christmas, family. Welcome here. How wonderful it is to have family with you, eh? Just fantastic. What I'm going to read tonight is Matthew 1:18 to Matthew 2:12. This is how the birth of Jesus Christ came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph, but before they came together, she was found to be with child through the Holy Spirit. Because Joseph, her husband, was a righteous man and did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in his mind to divorce her quietly. But after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home to be your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you will give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sin." All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet. The virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means Christ with us. When Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him and took Mary home as his wife. But he had no union with her until she gave birth to a son, and he gave him the name Jesus. After Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judah, during the time of King Herod, Magi from the east came to Jerusalem and asked, "Where is the one who has been born King of the Jews? We saw the star in the east and have come to worship him." When Herod heard this, he was disturbed, and all Jerusalem with him. When he called together all the people's chief priests and teachers of the law, he asked them where the Christ was to be born. "In Bethlehem in Judah," they replied, "for this is what the prophet has written. But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah. For out of you will come a ruler who will be a shepherd of my people Israel." Then Herod called the Magi secretly and found out from them the exact time the star had appeared. He sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go and make a careful search for the child. As soon as you find him, report to me so that I too may go and worship him." After they had heard the king, they went on their way, and the star they had seen in the east went ahead of them until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they were overjoyed. On coming to the house, they saw the child and his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshiped him. Then they opened their treasures and presented him with gifts of gold and of incense and of myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to go back to Herod, they returned to their country by another route.
Thank you, Tim. Thousands of years ago, God's prophet Isaiah spoke about the beginning of all things in the universe. In Isaiah 42:5, he said this, "God, the Lord, created the heavens and stretched them out. He created the earth and everything in it. He gives breath to everyone, life to everyone who walks on the earth." We're also told that the pinnacle of his creation on earth was humanity. In Genesis chapter 1, verse 26, it was written, "Then God said, let us make mankind in our image, in our likeness, so that they may rule over the fish in the sea and the birds in the sky, over the livestock and all the wild animals, and over all of the creatures that move along the ground." As our Heavenly Father, God created people, he created them with the capacity to communicate with him and a choice to love and obey him or not to. And sadly, through the book of Genesis, we see that the first humans are Adam and Eve. They were told that they shouldn't eat from the tree in the center of the garden, and if they did, that they would surely die. But Adam and Eve chose to disobey God by eating that fruit. God told him that he would die, and on that day, when they ate from the tree, death came to men, and everyone after them was subject to the curse of death. God created a perfect paradise in the beginning, free of sickness, pain, and death, but when they did this, and they disobeyed God, sin entered the world, polluting its perfection. That same sin that brought decay in the first part of humanity's story is the same sin that continues to bring decay to us. In the book of Romans 5:12, we're told when Adam sinned, sin entered the world. Adam's sin brought death, so death spread to everyone, for everyone sinned. So we see it all around us. We see it in the news. We see it down the street. Romans 3, chapter 3, verses 10 to 12 says this, "None is righteous, no, not one. No one understands, no one seeks for God. All have turned aside, together they have become worthless. No one does good, not even one." As hard as we try to solve our own problems in this world, we're incapable of changing or fixing what is broken within us through our own efforts. Apart from being rescued by God himself, humanity is truly lost, not only in this life, but the scriptures tell us that in the life to come. And it's always been clear that the world needs a savior. It's still clear today. Just as the ancient Jews knew that they needed a Messiah, we need a Messiah to take care of things here today as well. And God used his ancient prophets to speak to the people about the hope that would come through a Savior. He told his people through the scriptures that God would take on human form and he would be brought into this world as a sinless man. This man would be born without the nature of Adam, like the rest of us had. His mother would be a human virgin, but his biological father would be God, who would implant himself into her womb. And the prophets predicted that this Savior would be fully God and would be fully man. And he would come not only to show us what God was like in human form, but he would come to save us from our sins. The Savior would be born in the nation of Israel. God chose Israel to be a nation as an ambassador nation, and through which he chose to send his Son, Jesus Christ, God the Son, into the world. He would be born of the lineage and house of King David, of the Israelite tribe of Judah. He would come to be Israel's leader and ruler. Today is actually a birthday celebration. It's the celebration of the birth of the King of Kings. The Messiah to come would be ruler over Israel, but his salvation would extend to the far reaches of the planet. The prophet Micah prophesied in Micah 5, chapter 2, "But you, O Bethlehem Ephrathah, who are too little to be among the clans of Judah, from you shall come forth from me one who is to be ruler in Israel, whose coming forth is from old, from ancient days." And Isaiah the prophet spoke of this Messiah, which was written in the book of Isaiah 9, 6, and 7, "For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace, there will be no end on the throne of David and over his kingdom to establish and to uphold it with justice and righteousness from this time forth and forevermore. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will do this." Before this, the Messiah had not been born. King David, who God called a man after his own heart, sang a song about the future Savior that would come through his lineage. In Psalm chapter 98, verses 1 to 3, the words of his song were this: "Sing unto the Lord a new song, for he has done marvelous things. His right hand and his holy arm have worked salvation for him. The Lord has made his salvation known and revealed his righteousness to the nations. He has remembered his love and his faithfulness to Israel. All the ends of the earth have seen the salvation of our God." And all these predictions that were made of the coming Savior, made hundreds of years before their fulfillment, pointed to the day when Jesus Christ would be born into the world, the first Christmas night in Bethlehem. And we've already heard that story read for us from Matthew's account by Tim. The gospel account of Luke chapter 2, verses 8 to 20, tells us what took place from a different perspective. We read, starting with verse 8, "That night there were shepherds staying in the fields nearby, guarding their flocks of sheep. Suddenly, an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the radiance of the Lord's glory surrounded them. They were terrified, but the angel reassured them, 'Don't be afraid.' He said, 'I bring you good news that will bring great joy to all people. The Savior, yes, the Messiah, the Lord, has been born today in Bethlehem, the city of David. And you will recognize him by this sign. You will find a baby wrapped snugly in strips of cloth, lying in a manger.' Suddenly, the angel was joined by a vast host of others, the armies of heaven, praising God and saying, 'Glory to God in highest heaven, and peace on earth to those with whom God is pleased.' When the angels returned to heaven, the shepherds said to each other, 'Let's go to Bethlehem. Let's see this thing that's happened, which the Lord has told us about.' So they hurried to the village and found Mary and Joseph, and there was the baby lying in the manger. After seeing him, the shepherds told everyone what had happened and what the angel had said to them about this child. All who heard the shepherd's story were astonished, but Mary kept all of these things in her heart, and she thought about them often. The shepherds went back to their flocks, glorifying and praising God for all that they had seen and heard. It was just as the angel had told them." My friends, the same Jesus who was born on the first Christmas, he grew into a man. He spoke with all the wisdom that was resident within him. He showed us what God was like as a human being. He healed the sick. He set those who were captive to evil free. He even raised the dead. In fact, Jesus Christ, as the world's Messiah, was the living Word of God. The Apostle John wrote about what was seen in John chapter 1:14 when he said, "The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son who came from the Father, full of grace and truth." In verse 18 of that chapter, the apostle writes, "No one has ever seen God, but the one and only Son, who is himself God and is in closest relationship with him, with the Father, has made him known." Now, all the lights that we have, the beautiful candlelight, they represent the light that has come into this world through the Lord Jesus Christ. However, most of the people who saw his glory while he walked on the earth, they didn't recognize him for who he truly was. That said, some did come to believe in him. In John's gospel account, in John chapter 1, 10 to 13, we're told he was in the world. And though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. Yet to all who did receive him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Children not born of natural descent nor human decision or husband's will, but born of God. And that famous scripture that we all know, if you've ever gone to Sunday school or gone to camp, you've probably heard this scripture in John chapter 3, 16 to 18. "For this is the way that God loved the world. He gave his one and only Son, so that everyone who believes in him will not perish but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world should be saved through him. The one who believes in him is not condemned. The one who does not believe has been condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the one and only Son of God." My friends, the original Christmas gift that was given to us was the very greatest gift ever. God knew that human beings could not escape the death and corruption that sin would bring, so he decided to step in and to save us. And he didn't do this because he had to, but because of his great love for us. He humbled himself and came to us as Jesus Christ. He came to show us what he was like. But most importantly, he came to pay the death penalty that our sins had brought down upon us. He came to die instead of us, so that we could have life with him in eternity. God is holy, and he must judge evil. His righteousness cannot let sin go unchecked. But because of his great love, Jesus bore the burden of God's wrath against sins that each of us have committed. Jesus was given. On that first Christmas day, he was given as God's gift to us. "Greater love has no man than this, than he lay down his life for his friends." And as Jesus was looking at the people that were crucifying him the day he was crucified, his heart was filled with compassion for the deception that had taken root inside of them. And he said, "Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they do." And it's still the same in the world today. So many people see Jesus. They see him and they say, "No, thank you. I think I'll take care of things on my own." Not realizing that they're pushing away from the greatest gift that was ever given to humanity. God truly loves you today. He really does. and he wants you to know him. See, Christmas wasn't just about a religious ceremony that was going to be done year after year after the time that Christ was taken back up. It's more than that. It's an invitation, an open invitation to believe. Yes, no one will see God unless they believe. Without faith, no one will see God. God was pleased with the foolishness of the gospel, because the gospel was made so that even the most simple person could understand that they needed a Savior and that they could come and have their sins forgiven. God loves everybody, and he made the message very simple. But tonight, if you have a relationship with the living God, I want you to know that that relationship with him runs deeper than any possible relationship, and you can go so deep with him in that relationship. The Word of God reveals the nature and heart of God, and the Holy Spirit brings life to his Word. This evening, I'm a messenger of God to each one of you. I agree with the Apostle Paul, who wrote in his letter to the Corinthians in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, 14 to 21, he said this: "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away, behold, the new has come. All of this is from God, who through Christ reconciled to himself humanity and gave us the ministry of reconciliation." That is, in Christ, God was reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them, and entrusting us the message of reconciliation. Therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ. God is making his appeal through us. We implore you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. For our sake, he made him to be sin who knew no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. Those are powerful words. The true meaning of Christmas and the true gift of Christmas season is Jesus. Now, you might have already come to accept Jesus as your Savior, and this night is a thankful night, a night where you can be thankful to God for all that he has done, for the grace that he's given you and the gift of life that he's given to you. And if you've never placed your trust in God's Savior tonight, you can ask Jesus to take your sins away and give you eternal life. And the scriptures say that when you surrender your spirit to him, he takes away your sin, and in place of your sin, he fills you with the presence of his Holy Spirit. And that is a wonderful, wonderful thing. If you have God's Holy Spirit in your life, he will walk with you through this life. And in the end, each one of us will have to step across the veil, and we'll have to stand before God and give an account. And when God looks at you, if you've received him, what he sees is the work of Jesus Christ on your behalf. And he says, "Welcome into my kingdom. You're written in the Lamb's book of life." And all of eternity, we will be with him and with all the wonders and the majesty of the things that he's prepared for those that love him. This is the news of Christmas. This Christmas Eve could be the first night of the rest of your everlasting life. For the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Jesus Christ our Lord. The question posed to you, if you've never done this before: will you receive God's free gift of forgiveness tonight and place your trust in God's Messiah? And if you're a Christian tonight and you've already done this, tonight is a night of thanksgiving. Thank you for coming and bringing your family to honor the Lord Jesus Christ. on this night that we celebrate his birth. Let us pray. Jesus, we thank you for your goodness. We thank you for your grace. We thank you for your mercy. Lord, I pray for each person that's here tonight. If there's those here tonight that can honestly say that they don't know you or they've never surrendered to you, I pray that they would surrender their heart to you and would believe. And Father, as they put their trust in you, Father, you promised that you would take away their sin and would fill them with the Holy Spirit. And I pray that this would be a night where they receive the true gift of Christmas. And for those that are here tonight, I pray that you would bless them. Your grace and your peace would rest on them as they go. And Lord, that you'd fill them with the joy of the Christmas season, of knowing that you are with them, and that you promise, Lord, that you will never leave or forsake your own, but will be with them to the very end of the age. And I pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen.